This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Father, thank you for being with Carolyn throughout all the past years of her raising a family. And Father, I just ask that you will give her wisdom and peace as she speaks to us today. Just give her the words that will touch different hearts in this room. And bless her and pour your spirit on her. Thank you so much for this opportunity to learn about families and serving you in different settings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Frida. I would be interested to know how many of you are actually in a mission or on a mission field with your family in some type of mission. Okay, and some of you may or may be planning to go there. I hope this can be an encouragement for those who are in missions, and maybe it can be an encouragement for those who might be thinking about missions that think, oh, well, maybe that's not so hard after all. I could do that. And if you've already raised your family, you can use some ideas here perhaps for prayer material for families that you do know in missions. Okay, the subtitle here, Looking Both Ways, is kind of my theme. Sometimes the resources that God has for us they show up in surprising ways. We just need to look outside the box a little bit. So that's kind of what we want to do. As you said, we've lived in the city for the last 30 years, and living in the city requires minding safety precautions for ourselves and for our children. For example, if you're crossing the street, you teach them to look both ways, even if it's a one-way street. And then you look, listen, and then you look again before you go out. One day I'd stopped at a busy intersection, and the light turned green, and as I eased out into the intersection, something caught my eye in a peripheral vision, and here was a biker crossing against his no-walk sign, and he was riding his bike, which you're not supposed to do, crossing the street, you're supposed to push it across. He was going the wrong way and riding his bike. So thank God for his protection that day. So I was very glad that I had looked before I actually went into the intersection. And then another day, I was the pedestrian. And the light changed, and so I started across the street. And suddenly, this supersized SUV came down the street and was making a left-hand turn onto the street that I was crossing. And it accelerated just as he started to make the turn. So that caught my vision, too. And I had had some experience with left-hand turns, both as a driver and a pedestrian. So I was alerted to the possibilities of what could happen. And so I thank God for his safety that day as well. So if we're in the city, we need to look both ways because our life really depends on it. And I think on the mission field, as mothers, we also need to look both ways. We need to look lots of different ways because our sanity and our survival and maybe our very life depends on looking the right ways. We are mothers and we are missionaries. So what takes priority? On the mission field, we do have to wear many hats. But we can't be supermom. Supermoms burn out. And so we have to decide, am I first a mom? Am I first a missionary? How do I sort out my priorities? Let's establish, first of all, that if God has gifted our family with children, our calling to mother well has to be given first priority. Whether we're at home or whether we're on the mission field, our children have only one mother. So no one else can fill that role. But the question is, can we be missionary mothers? Can we be good mothers and effective missionaries. Can we? I think so. That's what we want to look at today. Because our attitudes as mothers can make our family's ministry a good experience or a very frustrating one. Depends a lot on our attitudes. I can't begin to talk about all the things that you need to know or that we could talk about as missionary moms. So I've chosen three areas, and we'll focus on those. And I guess if you have questions about other areas at the end, you can ask those. Or maybe you have something to add that I've completely missed. Several years ago, after a commissioning service for our missionaries, a very concerned brother came up to the front of the auditorium, and he had some counsel for us. He says, "You should never send families with young children to the mission field. It just isn't right. Mothers need the support of extended family, and children need grandparents to be involved in their lives." And we had just commissioned about three families with very young children. So, oh, are we doing something we shouldn't do? So something to think about. We can look at family and missions with three different views of family. We can say family and missions. And that's kind of like adding missions onto a really full plate, okay? We are busy with our families. Moms are always have more than enough to do. And to add missions on top of that, it makes it look like a big overload. Or another way we can look at it is family or missions. I think that's what that brother was aiming at. You either have family or you have missions, but don't put them together. He saw them as mutually exclusive. The third way we can look at it is family in missions. So we integrate family and ministry and work together as a team. Do one of those models describe your family right now? Okay, you find where you fit. We're going to choose the third model. Okay, family in mission, because that's what this is all about, right? We'll look at the resources God has provided for helping us to be a family in missions. God's resources are available for us if we look in different ways. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that there's no temptation, there's no trial that's too hard for us, that God will always provide a way out. So we know that he has resources for us. And David said, "All my hope is in you." So that's where our hope is as mothers. So we're going to look at home as our ministry. Home is ministry. And then look a little bit at the emotional, spiritual needs of the mom, because raising a family depends a lot on us, right? On our attitudes and our emotional and spiritual health. And then just a few things about some children's issues. So, how do we look at our homes? If it's family and missions, then we try to get all our housework done. Then when all the family needs are taken care of, then we go quick and do some ministry, then come back and try to pick up our housework again, right? But if we look in at our family, we see that our family is our ministry. Okay, we are responsible to care for the needs of our family. We are responsible to provide an atmosphere of security and peace for our husbands and for our family members. We need to care for their needs. So that is a very legitimate and a very real ministry. Our home should be a place of support and refuge for our children and our husbands. And for our children's friends, we allowed our children to bring their friends into our home. But that was one policy we have. We didn't send our children to other people's homes, at least not until we knew them very, very well. We'd like to be able to keep an eye on what was happening. So in the home, we need to make some decisions because children do need some predictability. But as we model for our children what it means to be contented where God has us. Contentment is a wonderful virtue, and it's not something that I was an expert at because I did more than my share of complaining along the way. But children pick up the attitudes of us as moms. But we don't want to create this, what we call like a fortress mentality. And I think one of the speakers referred to that today, that we come into our homes, this is our safe little haven, and where we regroup, we do ministry out there, and we just come, this is our safe little refuge, just for us, me and my family. We need that safe place, but it's not exclusively just for me and my family. So the other way I'd like for us to look is to look in a different way, look an outward look. How can we use our homes as a center of ministry? Ministry is not just out there. It can be right in our homes, in addition to our families. We minister to those God sends to our door. And depends on where you are, you'll probably find many people coming to your door. If your door is open and your heart is open, people will come. When we first moved to New York, we lived in a basement of a large building. And so I had homeschool with the children around the kitchen table. And every morning, one of the neighbor men would come in. And sometimes he would knock, sometimes he would just walk in. We often had our door open because it was hot, and so people came in and went. So he would come in and sit down and mumble to himself. And so I'd ask him, ¿Quiere café? You want coffee? And see. So I'd bring him his coffee, and he'd sit there and drink his coffee, and the children would keep on with their schoolwork. Every morning he came for coffee. And one time my girl said, Mom, why do you keep giving him coffee? If you keep giving him coffee, he'll always come. Well, I said, it doesn't really hurt to give him a cup of coffee. I can do that. And so it was a little hard for him to understand and comprehend things. But more than once, I sat down and shared the gospel with him. I don't think he comprehended. I don't know what he comprehended. He had a problem with alcohol as well. But, you know, it's somebody that God brings to our door, and we can minister and pray for them. And as people come into our home, they can see what our lives are like. It's kind of hard to hide the realness of our lives, right? It's like a fishbowl or a city on a hill. So we model Christian living as they come. One thing that we learned too is we can teach our children to minister to the guests. So it's not just me ministering to people who come, but our children have an important part in that. In Hispanic culture, it's very impolite to leave a guest sitting by themselves. So a child will go and just sit with them or converse with them. And those are opportunities for our children to learn to serve as well. We also, it was a time that one of our daughters was feeling quite insecure and negative and all these things with growing up. And someone suggested that we have her to participate in the meals when guests came. Well, that was a wonderful idea. I don't know why I didn't think of it before. But to have her make the dessert, you know, and that was something that she could do. And the guests liked the dessert, and she got lots of affirmation. It just helped to build her up, and she was contributing as well. Like I said, we allow the children to bring their friends into the home. The key word here is supervise. It's not wise to let the children play alone, or at least not in closed rooms. And so we tried to supervise. And another suggestion I have is when children come into our homes, sometimes the toys walk away. They don't always stay in our homes. Are we okay with that? Okay, do you have things that you can share in that way? All right? Or is it okay if they get broken? I remember my parents-in-law made these beautiful ark sets, a beautiful ark, and with all the animals and Mr. and Mrs. Noah, and my mother-in-law was very artistic, and she had painted them all. They're really, really nice. We're so excited about this ark, and the children loved it. We had just gotten it. We hadn't had it very long. And a neighbor lady came with her little boy. And this was the first time she'd come into our home. We just kind of barely knew her. And so we welcomed her, and the little boy was playing with the ark. And anyway, the conversation ended, and she went home. And then we were picking up the toys. Later, Mrs. Noah was gone. And we looked all over for Mrs. Noah, and we couldn't find her. And I said, you know, I think she walked out the door in somebody's pocket. So I went to talk to the neighbor. I just asked her, because it was a very special gift, and I knew I couldn't replace it. It was a little awkward, you know. I said, well, you maybe... He just wanted to play with it, and if he wanted to play with it, you know, we could substitute something else maybe. Oh, no, he doesn't have it. You know, it's not here. I don't know what happened to it. So you just have to let that go, right? I probably should have let it go in the beginning. Our son's ball glove walked out. Like I said, sometimes our door was open. Apartment was hot, and we lived on the first floor then, and somebody just walked in and took it. Bullies came one time and took his sled away from him when he was out on the street with his sled. So those kind of things teach our children about ownership. Who really owns the things that we have? Just one other perhaps advice, or just something to keep in mind. If our children have too many toys and too many nice things that you don't want to get broken, or you don't want to walk away, probably we should evaluate, what should our children have? I think it's okay for children to have special treasures. You know, and if there's something they really treasure, a gift from a grandparent or something, maybe that could be kept in their dresser, in their bedroom, and not out for everybody to play with. Because if everybody's playing with it, we have to have open hands. We have to be willing to release it. But if you have so many things that you don't want the children to come in to see how many things you have, I think that needs an evaluation check to check what God wants us to own. So children can help with ministry in the home. And see, we're not adding ministry to family or to home. It becomes a family affair. It's just part of our lives. The next thing I have there is to pray for those who come into our home. Sometimes they're only there for a short time, like that gentleman who came for coffee every morning. But we can always pray with them. So even thanking God for them, even if they don't come with a special need, just have a prayer with them. If you have an opportunity to share a scripture, get God into the conversation some way, some spiritual blessing. And then after they leave, the whole family can be involved in praying for that person. If it's a neighbor that comes every day, pray that you can have grace, and just pray that God will keep working in that neighbor's heart. We never know what God's going to do in response to our prayers, because prayer does, God works through prayer. But then you still ask the question, how can I still juggle the challenges of homemaking with ministry? Because it takes time. when people come into your home and they interrupt you. You have to get a meal on the table, or your load of laundry needs to be hung up or whatever, put in the dryer, depends on where you are. There's a lot of tension there. It's a lot of tension. Especially in third world countries, our daily tasks are very labor intensive. Remember in Nicaragua, we had to sweep our house about 3 times a day in the dusty season if you wanted to keep the grit out a little bit. Hand washing, that might not be quite so common anymore. Those are things I could not do by myself, to keep ahead of those with 3 little children. So how do we cope? Well, we can look around for the familiar things. You know, bring our kitchen aids from the States, which is fine, or you might be able to buy them in the country where you are. And that's fine. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. Or we can bring nannies and school teachers to help us. And we did that at one time in New York City. I thought, I can do this, you know. But after a while, you get so many phone calls, so many people knocking on the door, and thank you letters didn't get done, newsletters much less. And so Alan kept asking me, well, are we ready to pray and ask God for a helper? I said, no, not yet. So I struggled along some more. And finally one day I said, you know what, I think I really need some help. So we started praying that God would send us a lady to help us. And I think within 1 week we got a call from a very dedicated, talented, wonderful young sister. She was my age, actually. And she said she just wondered if we could use some help. God was prompting her to move to a different area of ministry. And so, yes, we just asked God for you. And so she stayed with us for quite a few years and did a wonderful job in helping with some of the things that I couldn't help with. So, all right, so the familiar, people that we know and understand. Or we can look around at other options. This is particularly true, perhaps, if you're in a third world country. Consider local house helpers. I resisted that for a long time as well when we were in Nicaragua. Then I came to realize that, again, I couldn't do it by myself, especially with hand laundry. I could do little things, but when it came to jeans and bed sheets and towels, I just couldn't. So we did hire someone to help us. And that gives work to someone in the local culture, so I don't think we need to apologize for that. And it does help with language learning if you're in a different country. I did come to realize, though, that after a while, this was especially New York, our children were a little bit older, and we had a wonderful house helper. She's a wonderful cleaner. She cleaned better than I did, and she's a good cook. Lots of things she could do really well. And after a while, I came to realize that my daughters were not learning responsibility. We were dependent on her to do a lot of things that my daughter should have been learning. So that we kind of made a shift there. And then she came to help more with secretarial work, and I did the housework and the schooling, that kind of thing. So I think we have to be alert to changes as well. I think I put something on there about food. Especially if you're in a third world country, another country, it's good to teach your families to eat what is there. If we always depend on our friends from the States to bring us cream cheese and what else do you like? Chocolate chips? Peanut butter? Yeah. In many countries, you can get those things now, right? But if we depend on those kind of things, our children are not embracing the culture. So we can save those American goodies for special occasions, but it sends a powerful message to our community that we're working with. If we enjoy and we can embrace the very basics of their culture, which includes foods. Okay, Emotional and spiritual needs. We're not spending a lot of time. There's many, many things we could say there, right? But let's move on to this one. Loneliness is a part of the missionary package. And I think that can be true whether we're stateside or whether we're overseas. Loneliness, because you're kind of one of a kind, and we don't always have the same support as we do at home. When you're on a plane, one of the announcements they make at the beginning is that if there's a change in cabin pressure, then the oxygen mask will fall down. And what do they say? Put your own mask on first, then help the child who is with you. Why? Because if I'm not getting the oxygen that I need and something happens to me, who's going to take care of the child? So I think that's a very good illustration for our emotional and spiritual needs. If we are emotionally healthy and receiving the oxygen that we need, we can better walk with our children and assist them because they're having lots of adjustments in growing up. So what resources do we have for our emotional needs? We can go to our default, to the familiar, right? Family, friends, Skype, Voxer, Viber, all those wonderful communications tools. Praise God for all of those. And it is very important to keep up those connections. Because we need that familiar to keep us nourished, right? But here's my butt. Look the other way down the street. If we are just living for the next phone call from the States, or we're just living for the next furlough, or we're just living, you know, we're just going to check our email 10 or dozen times a day. Maybe we should look another way. Because we don't want to spend all our emotional energy back home, wherever that is. You know, if you're in the States, or if you're in Canada, if you're in another country, whatever. You don't want to spend all your emotional energy and get all your emotional needs met back there. We need to need the people around us. So, what do we see when we look around? Homesickness will come. Homesickness is a longing for the familiar. So what can we do to get more familiar with the local culture, right where God has us? Home is movable. I can put down roots right where I am. Sometimes it's a little hard, but I can. When we left Nicaragua, we weren't there that long. At the time, it seemed like a long time. 6.5 years seemed like a long time, especially when our furlough time had extended and we were out of the States for quite a while. I found it extremely difficult to say goodbye to my sisters and friends in Nicaragua. It wrenched way down here. And so I kind of closed my heart when we moved back to the States then. You know, I don't really need anybody, or I don't want to get close to somebody because it hurts. But, you know, we need relationships. We need relationships. And so when God took us to New York, I found a whole new set of friends and dear sisters that met that need. So we need to need our local sisters. We need to need the people around us and let them be our friends. Become friends with them. Allow them to help you. I read the example of one missionary that the Nationals really loved. And so another missionary was asking, why do you love him so much? What does he do for you? Oh, it's not that he does so much for us. He needs us. He doesn't have family here. He needs us. And I think his father passed away. He didn't have enough money to go back to the funeral. And so that was very traumatic for their friends. They collected among themselves enough money to send him back for his father's funeral. So it feels good when we're giving to other people, but sometimes we need to receive as well. In Proverbs 27:10 says, don't go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a brother nearby than a better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Okay. So as the new culture becomes more familiar, homesickness decreases because you're at home. So let's be present where we are. The spiritual is closely connected with the emotional, and our spiritual health as mothers is vital if we're going to raise our families on the mission field or anywhere. We can't do it without the Lord. But like I said, we don't have that regular spiritual support in our own heart language. So where do we draw our strength? We have to draw it from the Lord. Look upward, I guess we would say. Find it in the Lord. Cultivate meaningful devotion times. I like what someone said about the great daily exchange. That in the morning or whenever we have our time with the Lord, that I exchange my weakness for His strength. I draw from His strength. I exchange my anxieties for His peace. So we need that time to cast our burdens on the Lord. And I learned that the hard way. Our first term in Nicaragua, I almost had a nervous breakdown because I wasn't finding my strength in the Lord. My husband was busy, and he knew the language better than I did, and I was shy, and I stayed at home with my little girl. And it was hard for me to reach out, and then I felt sorry for myself, and I just kind of spiraled downward. So thank God, I just thank God for people that He brought into my life to help me out of that time. So we need huge chunks of the Word. We need to learn to feed ourselves. And that's where the oxygen mask applies again, right? We have to be taking in so that we have something to share with our children. They need to learn to depend on the Lord too. And if we're not doing it, how can we teach them to do that as well? And here's where God surprised me. For my own spiritual health, He taught me that I need to look outward, not just inward and upward. And the way that He did that, and we had lots of opportunities to share the gospel with people and then to have Bible studies with new believers and sometimes pre-believers. I found that nourished me so much when I was in the Word and when I was sharing the Word with someone else. You know, even sharing the gospel, a simple plan of salvation, God does something in our hearts when we just go through the simple plan of salvation, and it helped me to appreciate even more what I have in Christ, what Christ has done for me, helped me to understand my sinfulness and the joys of salvation. So as I reached out to others, God met my need for spiritual strengthening as well. So we don't get it just from being in the Word. We get it from sharing with other people. He says, whoever lays down her life will find it. And that's, as we give, we are given to. Now, children's issues. Probably our biggest challenge. What do our children need most? They need our care, our nurture. They need safety. They need protection. But is safety at all costs to be our primary goal? I like what Val Yoder has on his newsletter. We don't go because it's safe. We go because we're blessed. So we can include children in our ministry. We already talked about that a little bit. They need to be part of the missionary task. They need to know that they're important, but important people aren't always first every time, all right? They have to learn to sacrifice and to give as well. We took our children along a lot on ministry activities outside the home and door-to-door Bible studies or door-to-door evangelism. I was just talking with my oldest daughter just a couple days ago, and I was talking about this topic, and she said, I remember going with you to Mrs. Celio's house for Bible studies. It was up on the second floor apartment, and she said that stuffy, hot apartment. The lady was quite old, and I think she kept her apartment pretty warm. And she said, we hated it. I took the two girls with me. But she said, it was good for us. So she doesn't have bad memories of that. She just remembered it wasn't always all that fun. But they did like her cookies. She always had a nice assortment of Italian cookies. So they need to be a part of... Okay, we're getting close to the end here. I came across an article in the World Magazine in December, and this just kind of gave me a different view of what we as mothers should be building into our children's lives. You know, they need our care, they need our protection, but perhaps we might be shielding them from some of the hard things. This article is called The MK Privilege, and MK stands for Missionary Kids, and I hope you're not offended by that. Kids isn't my preferred label for children, but I'm going to use what she uses here, okay? Understand it, children. She says, what's life like as a missionary kid? It's hard, it's painful, and for many, it's a blessing that can't be beat. Most missionaries can remember a moment when they questioned the sacrifices of their calling. If I wasn't a missionary, my child wouldn't have to go through this. Missionaries expect big sacrifices. They sacrificed career ambitions, security, and stability when they heeded God's call to go. And out on the field, they daily sacrifice comfort and time and safety to obey God's call to stay. One missionary in Alaska said her children are the chink in the armor that Satan often uses to attack us because that's where we're weakest. We care about our children. So she gives a story of a missionary child who had a very, very difficult time in her missionary experience. But when this young lady was dating and thinking with her husband-to-be about where they were going to live and what God's calling was on their life, while Sarah was dating Luke, they got into a heated debate. After telling Luke about her difficult childhood, Sarah said she still wanted to raise her children as MKs. He was flabbergasted. That's cruel. How can you want your kids to grow up like that? And Sarah was indignant. But I want my children to feel uncomfortable. It's the best life, the best way to see the world. She says if we're trying to protect our children, then we're teaching them to be MKs, missionary kids. But we need to teach them to be KMs, kid missionaries, to be involved with the project and to face the hard things and learn to lean on God also for their strength. Okay, we only have a few minutes, but not all missionary children are going to have that positive a response. There are sad situations there, but the hard can be our greatest blessing. And that brings me to the last one, to prayer. We can't do our task of raising children anywhere without prayer. Without him, we can do nothing, but with him, all things are possible. We need to cover our parenting and missionary efforts with prayer. And find prayer supporters. I just need to tell you yet about one dear sister in Ohio. When we first went to the mission field at the end of 1977, this sister, and we didn't know it at the time, she committed to pray for our children every day. She was a widow. And we talked with her sometime later. In fact, we talked with her I was going to check what year she passed away, and I can't remember, but it was, I think it's been less than 10 years. So let's say from 77 to 2007. She prayed for our children every day. And I think that's why our children are so blessed. God protected them in ways that we have no clue. When she got Alzheimer's, she said, I can't pray like I used to, but I still think about your children. You know, so it was such a precious, precious gift. And maybe God wants us to give that gift to someone else. Yes. Amy Carmichael says, "Whom my heart cherishes are dear to thy heart too." So know that God cherishes our children even more than we do. He's looking out for them. He's going to bring experiences into their lives that they need. He knows what they need. And we'll do our part with prayer and look in both ways. There at the end, I put some blanks for you to fill out, just for you to think about, why are you where you are with your family? Or where do you think God wants you to be with your family? And know that if God has called you there, whether it's Lancaster County or Plain City or Ontario or Cambodia, if God has called you, He has called your children with you. You're a team. You're a family in ministry. And you can do it with God's help.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.